Hey, hello, everybody. It is Brother Two Posts.
Hello, sisters and brethren.
How are you doing today? I'm here with Sister Amen. Another day has been given to us and gone by.
Right, and it is blowing in some nice cool air.
Yeah, we had 3 days of 100-degree weather, and now it got so cold, we got cold tonight.
We had to put a coat on. Somebody, yeah, praise God.
Somebody told me South Dakota, where we are, has a record for being the fastest changing temperatures anywhere. I don't know how true that is.
Well, that's interesting, yeah. Huh.
Anyway, we saw it change fast today.
Right.
Yeah, but we got to work a little bit online. We got our latest street preach finally all done. We had to do some modifications to it. So that's up. You can check that out of the Life Fest Music Festival. Lots of audio, lots of video, lots of edification there.
Tons.
Tons of it. And we're still getting emails from people.
Oh, yeah.
From that, talking to some people. And so, yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, praise God.
Yeah, what's on your mind today, Sister Amen? I'm going right to you.
Oh, okay. Well, I just had, I don't know, I just saw this today when I went in. I went in the store to get something and put some gospel cards in the books.
Oh, yeah, we like to do that.
You know what? I love doing that. That's kind of like my...
peaceful.
Yeah, kind of my in-your-face to Satan, because I used to love books. I was never like a movie or TV person. I was an avid book reader. I could just read one in a day. Unfortunately, it wasn't any good. So to be able to put some light in them, I love doing that. Praise God. And I always ask the Lord, maybe that somebody who gets that book is going to be receiving the truth.
Yeah.
Or somebody might get it. But anyway, when I was in the store, I was leaving, and I saw this man in a wheelchair. He was a worker there, and it was a wheelchair that you had to use your hands to wheel it. You know, it wasn't like motorized or anything. And he took both of his hands and he pushed really hard on the wheels, and then he put one hand out and he put it on a pallet and pushed it. And then he rolled his wheels again and got momentum, and he pushed on that pallet and he was working his way down the aisle. And I was like, wow. That looked like it took a whole lot of energy. And right then I was like so thankful
for
the
help I have. Was it a whole pallet of stacked up stuff?
Huh?
Was it a whole pallet of stacked up product?
Yeah, I don't even know what it was.
Wow.
I was just really thankful for the help that I have, because, you know, sometimes you might overlook it. You know, even if you have a lot of issues and a lot of things you have to struggle with, we got to be thankful for the good health part of it that we do have.
Amen.
You know, some people have really good health, 100%, some 50, maybe some 20, some 10.
Yeah.
But we got to be thankful that we could take care of ourselves, that we don't have somebody else, you know, laying in bed and having somebody take care of us.
Health is definitely one that if you have it, you can easily take it for granted.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I was just thinking about that and thanking the Lord for being able to walk and talk and do all kinds of things.
The Bible talks about being thankful for all things. So thankfulness, being grateful, is a good quality to have in a believer, because we have so much to be thankful for. If we're not thankful, we're ungrateful, and that's not a good thing.
Oh, no. No, think about quail meat when you're thinking about thankful. I was just going to say real quick, before I went in the store, I heard some cheeping. Cheep, 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 you know.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, and so I made a video of the birds there, and I sat down on the picnic table, and I held the phone up there and waited for the parent bird to come and
they were like barn swallows, I think.
Is that what they were?
Yeah, I think those were barn swallows.
They were cute, like little fatty faces, you know.
That was cute. You put that up on the children's video, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So it's just awesome. Something to look for.
Today we had a interesting meeting, another meeting, with a young man, a church-going man. And he was contacted us and was talking about maybe thinking about leaving his church, challenging some of the things I say about the church system. And so we had a meeting, actually talked to him with some brothers. And I don't know, Sister Amen, what do you think about that meeting? Any thoughts out of that?
Yeah, you know what? I think
I have a main thought at the end, but I was wondering what you thought about.
I think there was a major spiritual battle going on inside, and we could see some of it outside, too.
He's only 20 years old.
Yeah, it was like light and darkness. We're talking big time, more so than the average that we've seen.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. And we see this a lot in people. They get close to the truth. They seem excited about the truth. And then the closer they get to it, when they realize the cost to follow Christ, dropping everything, losing family, losing your everything to follow Christ, all of a sudden they lose their zeal and their fervor because the flesh takes them away.
Yep.
And sweeps them away. We've seen that with so many people. It's the rare person that pushes through and follows Christ. Jesus said few are going to make it. Boy, can we confirm that. We have a graveyard of people that got so close that we knew, and they said, I think I'll just go back and figure it out on my own, and they never make it after that.
Not that we've seen yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we do know some precious saints that have made it and dropped their nets when the call went out. And so I think it's pretty awesome when you think about somebody dropping their net, Mark 1:16-20. And now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net in the sea, and they were fishers. And Jesus said to them, come after me, and I'll make you become fishers of men. And straightway, I love that word, they forsook their nets and followed him.
I love that.
And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. Straightway he called on them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him.
That's pretty big.
These guys dropped their nets and everything, and they left their dad. They took off after Jesus. And so that's what it takes, because a lot of times these people are caught up in these false religious systems. They're caught up in their families. They're caught up in their careers, their worldly life. It's really hard to live that and live for Christ at the same time. You got to drop your net and go follow Christ, leave all that behind. Then you got a chance to make it.
Yeah.
And very few are willing to do that. So I just want to talk about that concept of dropping nets.
Yeah, because if you don't drop your nets, you very well could be turned over like we've seen many people. We've almost seen it in an instant.
Yep.
Where people have been hungry and they're looking for the truth, and you give it all to them and they're like, yeah, yeah, I see that. And then they get to that hill they don't want to cross or climb up and over, and you can almost see them flip a switch and then turn on you.
Right, yeah.
And so we don't want that.
Nope.
But the Lord knows that we just have to keep going.
Amen, amen. Also, we talked to somebody, this is kind of a little bit different topic, the topic of prayer tongues. And this was kind of weird. Somebody told us that they have a prayer tongue, which we don't believe really exists, and that's kind of another whole study. We believe that's a man-made invention. Tongues could be a real gift, and God could use it, and it's real interpretation of a known language. So we're not totally against tongues, but we don't see it being used. We see it being abused, mostly. But what did this person say, Sister Amen, that made us really suspect about this gift of prayer tongues? What did they say they can do?
Well, I'm going to say there's two things. One, it was called gibberish by this person. They used the word gibberish.
They admitted,
the other one was that they could just do it
at
their own will.
They said, I can do it for you right now if you want. And I looked at him and I said, you realize you're controlling the Holy Spirit like that drop of a hat at the count of 1, 2, 3, you can control it. And they kind of looked at me like, well, that sounds weird, but that's exactly what you're doing with that kind of a prayer tongue. And I just wanted to kind of cover that and ponder that. The Bible doesn't really teach a prayer tongue, and tongues should always be interpreted. And we see a lot of, I will say, familiar spirit or demonic activity linked to tongues, because we see a lot of the unbiblical fruit of people that have it.
Yep.
We see people focus on it almost exclusively, which the Bible doesn't do that. We see a lot of these false cult groups that don't even care about the gospel and sound doctrine, but they're worried about signs and wonders and tongues.
Right.
And that shows they're not of the same spirit of the Father.
Exactly, yeah.
I was just going to read 1 Corinthians 14:13-15. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and will also sing with understanding also. So to me there, Paul is saying it doesn't make so sense to pray in a tongue when nobody knows what you're talking about. And Paul's talking about praying in the spirit. And when you see the fruit of these Pentecostal places, it's definitely not of the Father.
Oh, no.
A lot of chaos, a lot of strange activity, a lot of false doctrine. And when you see these people, we see a lot of quirky things in these people too. Strange things like twitching.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Flipping back and forth from being serious and listening to the word to being kind of almost laughing and flippant about it.
And almost a mocker. Going,
yeah, kind of like flipping back and forth, light to dark.
And they sometimes show arrogance or not reverence for the word of God.
Yeah.
So we see a lot of those signs, so watch out for that. The Pentecostal movement is not a biblical movement at all, so be careful of that. Also, another topic that just came up, judging righteously. Just had to deal with an issue with someone who did not judge righteously and took a lot of false, I'll say took flesh upon themselves and made a wrong judgment. This is a big problem. Would you say, Sister Amma, a lot of people have?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I would encourage sisters, we got to be real careful and choose our words carefully in our accusations because they can cause much destruction. I was going to read Proverbs 18:13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. And this can happen when maybe you misinterpret something somebody says and you jump on it right away instead of asking for clarification. Yeah. Usually there's a deeper issue behind that.
Maybe you're a little too self-absorbed. Maybe you're too self-conscious. You think it all of yourself and you think people are saying something about you that has nothing to do with you.
Yeah, right. And I wanted to also read Proverbs 18:21 because I've been thinking about this today. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof it. Yeah, we could be here all night going into words in the tongue and the matter that it comes from the heart. You know, sisters, remember, if somebody says something to you or if you do it to them, we got to remember it comes from the heart.
Yeah, amen.
And out of the heart, the mouth speaks. It doesn't mean that, you know, say you got like a really kind, good nature all the time, and all of a sudden you lose your temper one day. That doesn't mean that your heart is filled with that loss of temper. But people who have a habit of kind of, you know, little here, little there, little here, little there, it's in there.
Yeah.
And so we want to be real careful about that.
Yeah. Judging righteously. Matthew 7. This is the one that everybody misquotes. Yeah. They usually read the first verse, but they don't read on. I'm going to read you 1-5. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you. People stop there and they say, see, you should never judge. That's not what it says. Keep reading. And why beholdeth the mote that is in your brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that's in your own eye? Or how will thou say to thy brother, let me pull the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out thy own eye, or the beam out of thy own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of the brother's eye. It doesn't say to not judge, does it, Sister Amma?
No, not at all.
It says to judge righteously. So it's really important that we do that. Make sure that, as Sister Amma said, get clarification about things. You can cause a lot of damage by just judging unrighteously, being self-absorbed, not seeking for facts, not using wisdom. So we all need to be very careful of that.
Oh, yeah. We have to be careful lest we think we're something and we fall, too.
Yeah, because God's glory is on the line and other people's relationships, and you can either cause people to stumble over that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we want to be very careful about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So also, another topic we were talking about with the brothers tonight, loving God versus fearing God. And we were talking about, you know, should you just fear God and not love God? And we got in kind of a deep topic, but I think it came around to where we realized that, like, when you're brand new in the faith, you come to faith, the beginning of wisdom is fear of God.
Oh, yeah.
So as you're a new believer, you fear God and you want to obey him. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, this is the whole duty of man, fear God and obey him. He didn't mention love at all. He said he was supposed to be the wisest man ever. He said, fear God and keep the commandments. That's your duty. And so we were talking about it. And then we came to realize that as you walk with the Lord longer, that fear becomes, it stays fear. You're always fearful of God. You have a reverence for him. And you learn the love of God as he's working with you, chastising you, training, teaching you. And as you walk with him for years and grow up in him, the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. So you learn that God is more loving. And really, when you first come to the Lord, you're not a friend of God. You're an enemy. And then you repent and you become a friend of God because of Christ. And so you got to learn that transition. And then the longer you walk as a friend of God, you realize he's on our side. He's not against us. There is a great love. Christ loved us while we were yet sinners. So I think it takes some time to learn that. It's like a husband and wife. Your love for each other should grow and mature and become stronger. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think everybody has strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
And we all come to different places at different times.
That's true.
And so for some people, it may take them longer to understand that or get to that. And I see that as growing in being perfect, mature, complete, you know, as we grow. Because I know I had a struggle with that in the beginning. I didn't know how to love God.
Right.
I didn't realize what that was. I thought it was a fleshly thing, but I just wanted to obey him. And then when I read the scriptures that to love him is to keep his commands, I was like, oh, I am loving him. This is awesome.
Yeah, that is ultimately how God wants us to love him, not just with some emotional love like the churchianity system does, but through obedience. But then over time, through that obedience and knowing what Christ did and then fearing God in reverence, I don't know if I like the word emotional love towards God. There's an agape love where you feel this. I think it's a spiritual love, personally. Yeah. I don't like the word emotion. Right. I mean, I have emotion for my wife. I have emotions for my brothers. I'm not so sure I have emotion in that sense for God. But I have awe. I have respect. Mm-hmm. I have fear. And then, I get that. I love God because of what he's done for us, and we obey him. And I guess I got to ponder that emotional love. Maybe it's my own fault. I see so many people that treat Jesus, like in the church system, like he's a high school boyfriend. I just love him, and I have a relationship with him, and it's like, that's so unreverent, I could use that word. It's cheap.
Yeah.
And so I want to keep my love for God in line with obedience, and I want to keep it in line with fear, and then, of course, I want to love him, but I want it all based on biblical love, not fleshly emotion, I guess is what I want to say.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah. And so I was going to read Matthew 22:37-40. Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So that's where people get that loving God. And so we know that Jesus also said, if you want to be my friend, obey me. Keep my commandments. So I think the two are very closely linked.
Yeah, definitely.
And then I brought up this point that Apostle Paul, near the end of his ministry in the book of Philippians, wrote this. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, there's that obedience word, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Paul didn't even mention love there.
No.
So Paul was well into his faith many decades with the Lord, and he said, work it out with fear and trembling. So it's just a balance I think we need to keep. We need to have fear. We need to have reverence. I think the love will come in time, but we must keep the commandments of God. It's a fruit that we know he's working in us, and that is how we actually love God. As you quoted 1 John 5:3, this is how we love God, keeping his commandments. That's what God desires of us.
Yeah, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, amen. And he's so worthy of us to do that. And that helps our witness. It helps our walk. It helps others come to his knowledge. And it glorifies God. Jesus said, let your good works, which means keeping the commandments, be seen by others, and it will glorify God.
Right. Amen. Yeah. I love that.
Anything else, Sister Raman?
Yep. I have a scripture verse. What you got?
Always got scripture verses, don't you?
I do. Never ending to run out of them because we get to keep repeating them because they always mean something.
Oh, yeah.
Mark 5:27-28. And as I'm thinking about this, maybe I didn't do this one. I don't know. I'm going to read it. And if I said it already, oh, well.
Oh, well.
When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. I like to think about that because the great faith, she pressed through them all. She touched his garment, that faith she had to do that. She knew she would be healed if she just did that. And I remember coming to the Lord and I saw that, I read that, and I was like, I don't know. I just felt like that woman. I just wanted to. I wasn't even worthy to touch his hem, or even, like John said, to tie his shoelaces, if you want to say it that way, latchets on his sandals or whatever. Yeah.
I remember when I did the verse-by-verse study through Matthew, the one thing that jumped out at me is Jesus always called out people that lacked faith, and then he always honored people that had great faith.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I think of that over and over again, Jess. So that's an interesting thought. Yeah.
Yeah, like he commended the woman.
Yep.
Who he said that he what did he say? He came to feed the children of Israel, but not the dogs.
Yep, yep.
Or however he said that. Yep. She said, but even the dogs get crumbs that scraps under the table. Yeah, and he's commended her great faith. And I was like, wow, she didn't even get offended by what he said. She just had a faith. She was more focused on that.
The Roman soldier that said, I have men under me, and I tell them what to do.
Yep.
Can you heal? And Jesus said, I haven't seen this kind of faith in all of Israel.
Oh, I know.
So pretty amazing.
Yeah, let us sisters have that kind of faith.
Amen, amen.
He's worthy.
Well, tomorrow, I think we're going to have a nice, cool travel day.
Yay.
We checked the weather, and tomorrow I think we're headed to a new destination, new town. It's time to move on.
Okay.
And it's always exciting because while, you know, our life is like everyone else's. Everybody has to do a routine, and you pretty much do the same things a lot of the times. Our life is like that. In van life, we have a routine. We travel, we have a routine. When we street preach, we have a routine. There's nothing new under the sun. I can't think of anything that any profession that anybody does, they don't end up doing the same things. I don't care if you're a World Incarnate movie star, you're a sports figure, you're a rock star, you're a surgeon. Doesn't everybody have the same routine at some point or other? They're always doing the same things.
Everybody, if they're not dead, everybody wakes up, they eat something through the day.
A brother said everybody's got the same amount of hours in a day.
So, you know, everybody's going to wake up, eat something, drink something, go to sleep every day for sure.
Yeah.
Plus, everybody does a bunch of other things the same thing. Yeah. Maybe a little bit different, but many the same.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll be moving on down the road, if the Lord wills, and we'll head to a new destination. And
we'll fly gospel signs on the van on the way.
Yep, we're going to be doing some gospel sign flying, and then we have some interesting events coming up in September. And then, if the Lord wills, we're headed south, and we got more interesting stuff coming up down there. So it's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. Again, never boring when you serve the Lord, and it's always exciting to think what he's going to do in the next day. And especially, how about this, Sister Armin? Let's talk about this.
Okay.
Are you edified by as the wind almost blows our van away here?
Our van hardly ever moves, but that was a big gust
really
kind of moved
here.
It. Yeah.
I like sleeping in the wind when it's cool like this.
Uh-huh.
I think it's going to be like 50 tonight. Are you edified by knowing other believers, and then we see them out doing their ministry, and we get to hear about their witnessing stories? You get to hear about witnessing stories from other sisters. What do you think of that?
Oh, that just lifts me up, you know, because being out on the streets all the time like we are and not knowing many others that do that, very, very few, it's awesome to see them grow and rise up in this and seeing the truth go out. Yeah, it's just, it's hard to put it in words. It's just awesome. Whether it's a sister who's out there and she gets to proclaim the whole gospel and give a bunch of other information to a woman, or a sister that rejoices, hey, I gave a gospel card to a woman.
Yeah.
I rejoice the same amount on either, just because faithful sisters working, and the Lord can do the Lord could do the same thing with either situation.
Amen. Amen. And I get brothers that are doing street ministry, and they send videos and audios of what they're doing and pictures. So it's very, very edifying. And what I see is, I see that it is really, when you come down to it, it's the power of God out there working in people's lives.
Yeah.
2 Peter 1:3, according to his divine power, he hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and to virtue. I like that. He's called us to glory and to virtue. I don't know if you can get anything better than that, glory and virtue.
You know, before Christ, I wasn't even worthy of saying that word virtue or glory or holy or any of that.
Yeah, he makes everything worthy for us.
Yeah,
he is
so
worthy.
Awesome.
Yeah. Anything else, Sister Armin? Any last thoughts as we close out?
No, maybe there'll be some more tomorrow, though.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I don't want to say that. There's always many, many, many thoughts, but at some point we have to stop.
Yeah, amen, amen. We can carry over whatever we didn't cover to right, the next audio. So.
Right, it's all good.
So yeah, we serve a powerful God, and we hope you're out there striving for his kingdom. Hold fast, all you saints, and remember, we don't talk about this enough, Christ is coming back. The world is headed into a place of darkness, and Christ is coming back, and I love that in Revelations where he says he's taking back the kingdoms of the world for the Father. Satan controls them right now, but Christ is coming in flaming fire. The sky's going to roll back like a scroll, and he's going to take everything back. I'm looking forward to that day.
Oh, yeah. That'll be a day for sure.
All right, we're here for you until then. Till we go home or he takes us home or...
strive on.
Whatever, strive on. We love you all.
Love you, sisters.
Let us know how we can help in your faith. Send us an email. Check out all our resources, and we are here for you.
Amen. Praise God.
God be praised.